And up before us, greater than power. Teach us how to live and
walk in one accord.
Change into the image of our blessed Lord. Quicken us together by thy Spirit, Lord. Open up before us treasures of thy word. Teach us how to live and walk in one accord. Change into the image of our blessed Lord. Praise the Lord. We thank God for the privilege of being here tonight again. I am here because Jesus saves. Amen. Hallelujah. No way that I could make it had it not been that God, in His mercy, stretched out His hand one day and saved me when I knew nothing about the Holy Ghost. I didn't know that there was a Holy Ghost. Jesus filled me, baptized me with the Spirit. And so while I heard people quarreling whether they should talk in tongues or not, I was talking in tongues. Because I didn't know whether I should or not. Praise God. And so I believe if we just obey the Lord, follow Jesus, He'll lead us where we ought to go. And there will be no fuss or worry. Praise God. Tonight I believe sincerely that God is speaking a word to these people. I came out of Jamaica because 15 years ago, maybe, about, God told me that He was going to send me to the United States to a people who would hear this word, and that it was just before a certain destruction, a time of trouble, would fall upon this nation. I, in the meantime, had been the principal for a high school. My wife is a teacher. We were teaching in the school. And we decided that we were going to get our little farm ready for the people of God, for we believe, you know, God would send some people to Jamaica. And we were getting the farm ready, we were trying to make it self-supporting, and so on. And God came to me out of a clear blue sky and said, "Now is the time." I said, "Time for what, Lord?" He said, "Remember, I was telling you long ago about a time when you would have to go to the United States. Well, now is the time." I said, "But God, I have some pigs ready for market. I have chickens ready for market. I have eggs to be delivered. I was just changing over the chickens, putting in new ones and expanding the business." And the Lord said, "Chickens, pigs, sheep." Well, I knew I didn't say anything about sheep. So I said, "Okay, God, sheep." And so I quit. That very day, we packed our bags, and we left, and we went to Miami Airport. We stood up there. We knew nobody in the United States. And we just know that God was there. And if we know God in the United States, then that was sufficient. So we stood there for maybe 3 hours. Everybody seemed to be busy doing their business. Everybody knew where they were going. Everybody knew what they were about, but we didn't know where we were going. And as we stood there hanging on desperately, a lady came dancing up to us. She said, "Oh my, Jamaica is great." She said, "I'm going to Fort Lauderdale, are you?" The man who drives the taxi heard her say Fort Lauderdale, and somehow he must have heard that we were going to Fort Lauderdale. He grabbed our baggage and into the car. I was out there walking and praying, I saw my baggage going into a car. I rushed into the car. My wife followed. So we found ourselves in Fort Lauderdale. But the miracle of it all is that when I grabbed up my Bible and went into the car, a piece of paper dropped out of my Bible. And I looked at the paper, and I could just read Fort Lauderdale. And the man said, "Where are you going?" And I was too ashamed to let him know I didn't know where I was going, so I handed him the paper. He took me to that address. When he landed us there, it was an immaculately white area. And they weren't just happy to see two Jamaicans standing there casually hanging around, because the people who were supposed to live there, which we didn't know, we only got the address from my brother some years ago, and they weren't there. They were gone on vacation. Before I could see 13 different newspapers on the ground there, I picked them, checked the dates, and saw from the time when they were gone on vacation. And there were 13. So we decided that we would stay again and pray. We stood up there praying. A man came right over. Of course, I think he came before the police. And he said, "You are the missionaries we are expecting. Come with me." Now, he was gone on vacation. He was just coming in from vacation. He didn't know the plan of these people, so he thought he had expected a missionary, and we were there standing. So he took us off to the other part of the group. And we began to move with some people of God. And from then, we've been moving. As I told the brother this evening, we traveled one time for 2 years without stopping. In a little car, we just traveled. We just went anywhere God sent us. Praise God. One time we were running on a highway going up to Maine. We reached Portland and we ran out of gas. And we just didn't have the money, because we had repair bills, and we just paid the repair bills and took off. And so we said, "Well, God, we don't want to get caught in this highway, let's get off." And as we were about to get off, we turned to get off. There was a gas station, and there was $5. So we turned right in and bought the gas. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know, God has tested us, but He never failed us. Amen. He takes you to the brink and He dangles you over. Hallelujah. And He watches all your reactions. And He clocks them. And then when you pass the test, He showed you that all the while there was a way. Praise His holy name. I want to talk to you tonight about the anointed bread. Turn your Bibles with me to the 28th chapter of Exodus. In this 28th chapter of Exodus, we find the consecration of Aaron and his sons. And as we watch the consecration here, we see that they were sprinkled with the blood. They were touched on their ears, their thumbs, and their great toe. Three, remember I showed you this morning that the Word of God is three-dimensional. And to become a messenger of the Lord, a consecrated person, a person set apart for God, they had to have good ears. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing. Their ears had to hear right. You know, sometimes you talk some things and some people hear something different. Have you ever been in such a position? You say one thing and some people just definitely heard another thing. But praise be to God, these people had the right type of ears. Their ears were properly touched by the blood of Jesus Christ. Then the thumb, the great thumb on the right hand, had to be touched again. And this thumb is a symbol of the apostolic ministry. They had to be touched with the blood there. Your works in your right hand, your works have to be consecrated, dedicated to God. Somebody said, I belong to Jesus. I love Jesus. But his works are not matching up with his love that he professes. Your works must match with the love you profess for Jesus Christ. You love him, then let all things that you do be in line with that love. Praise God. Then his great toe was touched with the blood. And that was a sign of his walk, his spiritual walk. Because the right hand is the hand of the Spirit. Therefore, the walk that you walk in God, the way you behave, the way you carry on, hallelujah, has something to do with your whole spiritual life. Amen. So, they were consecrated. But in the chapter 29, I want you to look at that. And in verse 23, we read, and one loaf of bread, and one cake of oiled bread, and one wafer out of the basket of the unleavened bread that is before the Lord. Now, the words that I want you to note in this verse is oiled bread. That one loaf of the bread was anointed with the anointing oil. And the priest ate it. They had to eat it. This morning, we spoke about the dimension of the Word of God. For those who were not here, let's go back a little upon that drawing there. The first dimension is the natural, and the second dimension is the spiritual. And the third dimension is the fullness. Praise God. Now we see the bread oil. We are looking at the natural. God told these people to do the natural things. They were acting this thing out, but they didn't know what they were doing. Amen. Hallelujah. And so when the church came into being, the church began to reap the spiritual reaping of that natural action. These people ministered to us things that they didn't know. The prophets of old, the people under the law, they ministered things to us. They knew not what they were doing. Amen. But now God has revealed the thing to the church spiritually, and now the thing is being brought forth within your own being. That's the fullness of that word. So that anointed bread that was eaten by the priest, what is it? Hallelujah. You turn your Bibles with me around to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Hallelujah. Chapter 11. And in verse 23, Paul. Now remember, the priest did this thing. He did not know what he was doing. But Paul is saying, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke bread and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he also took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Now, in the church, as a minister for many years, a pastor, pastoring many churches, I found that we got the people to fear the communion table because we told them that that bread represented Jesus Christ. And they were afraid of drinking that wine if they did not come up to standard. For instance, some people would fast Saturday if they were coming to communion on Sunday. Amen. And therefore, we ought unknowingly disfigure the power of the word. For we were still dwelling just in the spiritual significance of the word and not walking in the fullness of the word. Now, the spiritual significance, it is well, very good for you to know it. It is very, very good. We must have the spiritual significance. We must do the things spiritually that Moses did naturally. But then if that thing does not bring forth anything within you, you have frustrated the very purpose for which you receive the spiritual anointing. Hallelujah. So then, we ask ourselves the question, what was Moses doing? First of all, there were two anointings. The first anointing, the priest came up. He anointed him, three. He anointed him with the blood. The blood was touched on his thumb, touched on his ear, touched on his toe. Then he took the oil, poured it over his head. The oil ran down his skirt and ran down. And he anointed him with oil on the outside. Then he anointed him on the inside by letting him eat the anointed wafer. So he was anointed on the outside and he was anointed on the inside. Hallelujah. Amen. So he was not only moving in a physical anointing in the Word of God, walking, talking, living epistle, seen and read of all men, but he had the spiritual maturity within himself to produce that works. If you understand what I mean. In the church system, we would preach to the people, the women must wear long dresses, and they wore long sleeves, and they must behave a certain way. They couldn't use any form of makeup. There were certain laws and rules and regulations. And normally, people, you live around those people, and they would never allow their sins to be seen. Hang on. Because they were going, the elder says so and so, and elder says so and so, and they were doing that right before you, and they would deceive you right down to the last minute of death. Because you taught them what to do. It is a show, and they were keeping an outward righteousness. But the inward anointing was lacking. Hallelujah. Amen. And so we find that there is something deeper in this word. Tonight, I'll deal with the word on the point of its fullness. What is that word to you? Let us turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 10, backwards. And here we see Paul saying something that is very exciting, to me at least. In verse 15, he says, I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. Now this gospel of Jesus Christ is not made for fools. He said, no fool will err therein into this way. God cannot deal with you or commend you for ignorance. You will have to read and have the understanding which comes from the Spirit. Amen. Let's go on. The cup of blessing which ye blessed, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Amen, you say. Yes, I know that. But what is the blood of Christ? And what is the body of Christ? Let me see what Paul says. For we, being many, are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. What are we talking about? Brethren, when you sit to communion, it's when you eat the bread that God has provided in the body of Christ, through the body of Christ. Come on now. You spend time in prayer with God. You spend time in consecration. You give up your carnal living and you meet Jesus Christ. And you receive of him into your soul a certain life. Bread. What is bread? Bread is energy. Bread is life. That's what bread is. Bread is life. Bread is energy. You receive a certain bread within your soul. And then when you come to the congregation of the saints of God, you give off life. You give off energy. It quickens our people. Hallelujah. They are feeding from you. The bread that God has made you to be, you begin to break your bread and feed each other. So in the communion, when you break a bread and give it to your brother, and the one loaf of bread is broken up among you, you are in effect saying that we are all of the same loaf. Hallelujah. Eat of my loaf. I eat from you and you eat from me. We are all of the same loaf, and the loaf is Christ. So then, the bread of life only exists in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. There's nowhere else that life comes from on the earth. God will not bypass the body of Christ to send life through an alien group or body or thing to his people. But God is sending life to his people through his body. This is my body. Hallelujah. Amen. Take, eat, and live. This is my body. I want you to notice what Jesus did to some people who were carnal. Turn your Bibles with me around to John. And you will see here how Jesus deliberately turned them off. Turned them off completely. Let's read John 6. 47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Hallelujah. I see much deeper into this thing than many people. Because man is spirit, soul, and body. Amen. You can die in the spirit when the spirit leaves you. You can die in the soul when the soul has lost its hope of life. You can die in the body. And when Jesus said, if a man eat me, he will never die, he just meant that. He just meant die. He didn't, there's no need for you to go and analyze and say, well, you know, he meant death of the soul, for death of the soul means death of the body anyhow. But Jesus said, you shall never die. And let me tell you the glory of death. Satan, threatens people with death. And he makes a big deal over death. I'll kill you, as if he can. And then Satan comes and he kills a man's body. And God sits one side as calm as ever and just smiles. He tears your body to pieces. They put you in the grave. They bury you. The time passes over you. The earth destroys every fiber of your, the atoms of your body are disintegrated. Nature takes it. And God speaks one word and the body comes right back in the resurrection. Now you tell me. Now you tell me, if that isn't greater.
Isn't it greater than being alive and be changed? 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 51 says that we will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, being alive and changed.
That some of you sitting here shall never die. They doubt you. Yes, they said, oh, you, this is a never die preacher. Amen. But the fact is that Jesus Christ coming is so near that some of you sitting here shall not taste of death. Not physical death, I mean. And I'm quoting from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And in verse 51 or thereabout, it says that ye shall not all sleep, but ye shall all be changed. It's not everybody who is going to die. Not in this generation. Hallelujah. Not in this generation. A lot of people are going to wait till Jesus come and change and never see death. Praise God. Let's go back on the theme here. We see verse 50. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Jesus Christ is the anointed one. Amen. He was anointed inside and he was anointed outside. Amen. Hallelujah. He had an inward anointing and he had an outward anointing. And this is what we're talking about, that it is not reasonable for a Christian to go partway with God. Amen. It's not reasonable for a Christian to go halfway with God and turn back and say, well, I've got it made. You know, I get the Holy Ghost, I got it. So let me just coast on. You know, I've made heaven already. I have no more problem. Amen. Wretched thinking. 52. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Can you imagine people so carnal that they begin to think how they would eat him? Can you imagine it? That's exactly what happened. The brethren were so carnal that they started to think, well, he says we must eat him. Man. You know? They started having visions of how they would cut him to pieces and eat him.
And so they finally rejected the thought, and they rejected him, and they walked off. But he knew what they were thinking, and he made it just a little worse. Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Hallelujah. Amen. That's pretty rough on carnal people. Amen. Amen. Bless God Almighty. You come, eat my flesh and drink my blood. You have no life in you. Now, if they were spiritual, they would just immediately say, How do we eat your flesh? And how do we drink your blood? In the Songs of Solomon, speaking of the sheep coming up from the washing, he said, Her teeth are like sheep coming up from the washing, all white, and they all bear twins. Praise be to God. And I hope nobody here thinks it's a love story, except between Christ and his bride. Because here we are, Jesus speaking of eating, and he is using the spiritual terminology. He is thinking of the absorbing. Hallelujah. You absorbing into your being Christ. And you are going to take that in your mouth. Not your natural mouth, for it's not a natural substance he's talking about. But you will take it in your spiritual mouth. Now, what is your spiritual mouth? Your mind. Yeah. Your mind is your spiritual mouth. You get it clogged up with all kinds of things you can't swallow. Amen. It's so simple, you know. You must keep your mind clear, because your mind is the very means by which you're going to accept and absorb the Word of God and the Christ of God in his Word. And he says here, eat me. All right, let's go on a little. And my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Praise God. Now, here we come to the point. Paul shows us that Jesus is the bread, and that his body is the bread of life. So this brings communion from thinking of a Jesus out there to the Jesus in here. Amen. Come on now. We always think of Jesus as somebody over there. Amen. And when we say, oh Jesus, we're not thinking of the Jesus in here. We're thinking of a Jesus out there. But Paul, in showing us in 1 Corinthians 10, he said, For ye are the fulfillment of the body of Christ. I ask you the question, how were you raised with Christ? How were you healed by Christ giving his body? You were raised with Christ when Christ raised, because you are his body. That's the only hope you have. Amen. The only hope you have is being the body of Christ. You are healed by Jesus Christ, because when he died, he paid the price of sin and for our healing, not partway, but fully. Healing of the Spirit, the receiving of the Holy Ghost. You know that, don't you? That the spirit of man is perfect when he receives the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
So you are a tripartite being that is perfect in one part. You are perfect just as God is perfect in your spirit. In your soul you are being perfected by a process like metamorphosis. You are growing into this there is a coming forth in the soul nature that you must give way to. And you must feed this thing that is happening to you. Allow it. Give it a chance. And in your body you are to be perfected. Hallelujah. So we see that because you are a tripartite being, that every word that God gives to you, it is in three phases. It works in three phases. It works in the natural body, it works in the soul, and it works in the spirit. Amen. And the spirit is feeding living substance from the heavenly realms continuously into the body. Hallelujah. Amen. I say that any time a minister puts a fence around his doctrine and his gospel, he has stopped the pipe and there will be no more flowing. Hallelujah. But in time you open that faucet, while you are attached to the reservoir, you will get water coming. And there will be a flowing. Praise God. Now, let's go on just a little bit more. We see here that eating Jesus Christ is eating the body of Christ, feeding from the body of Christ. First of all, we thought of the bread as the life of God that is in you. What is the blood? He said, drink my blood. Now, did you ever consider what the blood of Jesus really is? You know, the blood of Jesus is a theological term. When we say the blood of Jesus, some people think of some red sticky substance, and they say that red blood can't wash anything white. But the blood of Jesus Christ is the life of God that was contained in the veins of a man. God used Jesus Christ as a divine transport to bring his life from heaven to earth. So God had a son named Jesus through a woman named Mary. And Jesus had in his veins the blood of God, or the life of his Father. Amen. When this life was poured out on Calvary, for the first time in the history of humanity, enough energy was in the world to supply all our needs. Hallelujah.
Bless the Lord.
One of the desperate needs we had is that our ammunition had run short. For Satan had taken away our kingdom and we couldn't take it back from him. We had no power. But the blood of Jesus Christ gave us the power to overcome the devil. Let me prove it to you, because some of you don't know the scriptures I am quoting right here. Turn to the 12th chapter of Revelation. And if you look at the 11th verse, you'll see, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Revelation 12, verse 11. Amen. And they overcame Satan by the blood. This is the reason some people want to take away the blood from you. This is the reason somebody say, well, let's leave that. One, I went into an end time group one time and God anointed me to preach the blood of Jesus. And when I had finished, they said, Dutilas turned Baptist. He's gone back to preach the blood. I was shocked. I thought they knew that the high priest could not enter into the holiest of all without the blood, and you won't be going anywhere without the blood. If you must enter into the very highest realm of God, into the very nature of the Father, you have got to enter through the blood of Jesus Christ, not without the blood. So we see then that even in the last battle, Our greatest weapon will be the blood of Jesus Christ, so you better know what it is now. Let me tell you, when a person comes to the elders and say, pray for me, hallelujah, and they touch you and life enter into you and heal you and set you free, you have received a charge of the blood of Jesus Christ. Because the blood of Jesus Christ is the life of God moving up and down in his body. Amen. Look, Jesus had a natural body when he was here, and he had a natural blood. But he was going to birth out of his side a spiritual body, so he had a spiritual blood for that spiritual body. And the blood of Jesus Christ is the life of God which moves up and down in our midst. Amen. The woman came to Jesus and she said, Jesus, please heal my daughter. Jesus said to her, it's not right for me to take the children's bread and give it to the dog. And some people say, oh, Jesus called her a dog. No, he wasn't calling her a dog. He was telling her a divine principle. Amen. The bread or the life, the energy of God belongs to the body of Christ. And a lot of us give it out. You have the right to give it to anybody you want to. So we have been giving it out. Pray for sinners, get them healed, and all that sort of thing. But you must know that the bread belongs to the body. That's their bread. That's their food. Bible said in, Psalm 78 and verse 25 says that men did eat angel food. Every one of God's beings must pull energy and life from God. You know that, don't you?
Amen.
Amen. Now, we cannot do anything except we have this power and this life from God to do this. Let's draw something on the board here for you. Now, in the tabernacle, as you come through the door of the tabernacle, you come to the candlestick here on the left side of the door. This is the door here. And the candlestick is on the left side. And on the right side, there is a table called the table of showbread. This table has 12 loaves of bread laid out on it. And these 12 loaves of bread does not represent just Jesus, but it represents the whole body. 12 is the number of fullness, and it represents the whole body of Christ. Now, 12 represents Israel too, and it's the Israel of God. Now, the priest, this is where the priests eat. They come, they take the bread off, the old bread, they put new bread on, they put this bread in the basket and they eat it. Now, there are some things I want to show you about this table to let you understand clearly that we are the bread of life. We are the only life in the world, and unless people get life from us, they are going to die, and God is depending on us to give them life. Now, there was a crown around it like this, on the top edge. There was one crown right around on the top edge. Then there was another crown under here. Under here, you know some tables are like that. And between the two crowns was the distance of the width of a man's hand. Amen. The table was made of wood, and that wood is humanity. God is saying that he has provided humanity to feed his people. The ministry of the word must come to you by human means. Some people are saying, I can stay home and just read my Bible and pray and fellowship with Jesus Christ and get as much as I come to church. It's not true. It's not true. You are missing one basic operation of the Spirit, which you will never get at home. God is not going to give you anything at home unless you are going to give it to the body. And whatever we get is not ours, but it's for the body. So we see a man's hand between here, and the hand represents the apostle, the prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Five ministries that God has placed in the body for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. So that means the saints are going to do the work of the ministry. God doesn't have you there as just dummies, just learning every day and never do anything. But you are being trained to minister to a dying world. Moreover, God has shown me that we have come into a period of time when the Bible spoke of the greatest trouble that ever was since man was made until that time. But there's something to save every human being that is to be saved. Anybody that you won't harvest in this hour, at this time, will never be saved. Those are those that can't be harvested. And God is preparing you, strengthening the brethren, to take in the harvest. This is what is happening right now. So then, every soul who names the name of Christ should concentrate now upon feeding from God and getting strength from God, so that the things that are bothering the natural, ordinary, carnal people don't bother you, and that you'll step over them and minister life when the trouble comes. The trouble has started. I read yesterday that one of the big banks of New York went broke. Amen. When you see banks start getting broke, then you know that things are serious. Those who have their minds and their money, they are in trouble. Amen. We have to turn our minds and attention to God, for this is our only hope at this time. And we are going to have to bring comfort and deliverance to these people who will be hurt by these type of circumstances. Amen. Let's look at it again. This table is 1.5 cubits high. Aren't you glad? I am glad that the table, amen, the table is made of wood, humanity, covered with gold, divinity. So God is covering up all your humanity, so you don't have to worry about it. Amen. But he won't make you taller than 1.5, because the number 3, which is twice that, is the number of fullness. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, good, better, best. So anything that is 1.5 cannot boast that I've got it all. And so God has made the table 1.5 to be high. And that is the height of the man who is going to feed you. He cannot be self-sufficient, don't need the rest of the body. We don't need you over there. We've got everything we want over here, and that sort of thing. So God is making his people one. And he is doing it by his ministry. And these ministries are not perfect, for he won't give them more than a measure, so that nobody boasts against the other. The crown represents the king's table. And that's where you must be. And the 12 loaves represent Israel, the Israel of God. And you are not only going to feed from the ministry, but you're also going to feed from the body. Just the whole body. Somebody comes in and he gives an experience. And maybe he didn't think he was doing much, but somebody out there just needed that testimony to survive. Hallelujah. So we find then that the communion that you commune, you have a wrong communion if you don't understand what you are doing. Because what you are really doing is saying that I am one with you. Now I ask you the question, why did the devil enter into Judas when he took the bread from Jesus? You notice that Judas was a devil. Jesus said Judas was a devil. That means to say he himself, in his own nature, he was a devil creature. But the Bible went further to say that Jesus dipped a sop and handed it to Judas, and when he took the sop, the devil entered into him. You know why? Because at the same time, he was taking the sop and saying, we are one. We are just one in Christ. We're just wonderful. He was selling Jesus. He had made a bargain to sell him. And at the same time, he was being one with the brethren. Now, when you are working against Christ Jesus, let me tell you something. I asked Jesus Christ a week or so ago, why? How could it be possible for a child of God who received Jesus, accept the blood, to turn back and to go to hell? How could he reject Jesus after he had accepted him? Jesus said, you don't reject Jesus with your mouth. He said, to reject Jesus, you only have to accept an evil spirit. You just begin to submit to a devil and you have rejected Jesus. For you know Jesus is not going to stay if you submit to a devil. So, we find that some of us are sinning against the body of Christ. We are hurting the body of Christ by tearing one another. We are hurting the body of Christ by living a sinful life. We are hurting the body of Christ and denying them the deliverance which we should be bringing to them. By the lives we live, by the things we do, by the thoughts we think, and then we dress up ourselves on communion day and come and have the bread one with another. Jesus Christ said that for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and some die, because ye discern not the body of the Lord Jesus. I remember the time was when I was against what I call the fragmentation of the church. When I was against the people who would not come and set their names down on my church list and be a member of my church. When I wanted them to come under my church rulership and under my bishop. Amen. I did not see the body of Christ. Amen. When you begin to see the body of Christ, you see that the body of Christ is bigger than a denomination. You begin to step over the barriers without noticing that. Hallelujah. You don't recognize the fellowship,
that is sectarianist. Anna, you don't recognize people breaking bread to themselves. Hallelujah. There is no breaking bread in Christ unless it is in the body of Christ. What kind of bread could you be breaking in a closed society? You close out the body of Christ and you start to break bread. Hallelujah. You are only seeking damnation unto yourself. Not discerning, not seeing the body of Christ. Amen. Turn to John chapter 3, and I'm going to show you something that I'm sure somebody else must have seen sometime. Amen. In verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see, discern the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Except a man be born again, he cannot discern the kingdom of God. So then, to be able to see the kingdom, you must be born again. But take verse 5. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody boast, I am born again. Praise God, I'm born again. Yes. You are born again. What prevents you then being born of the Spirit? Amen. For if you are born of the washing of the water by the Word, then the next thing must happen to you that you must be born of the Spirit. For the Spirit of God is the only way you can enter into the body of God, into the kingdom. Praise God. Of course, you know, it also means into the body of Christ. Because you cannot go into Christ while you are into self. Come on. Look here. In the tabernacle, we have two pieces of furniture in the outer court. The first one is an altar of brass with four bull horns. Brass is judgment, justice, and no mercy. There is no mercy on that altar. The only hope that you have on that altar is death to sin. Sin must die. So this altar is called death to sin. The next piece of furniture you have in the outer court also is the laver, also made of brass, a wash basin made of brass, and again that is seeing another debt, and this one is debt to self. You cannot enter into Christ until you have passed those two examinations. You must die to sin, die by fire, and you must...
At this point, there's a slight break in the tape, and the sentence that was unfinished was that you must die to sin and die to self before entering into a new life of Christ. And this means, of course, that the believer has come to the point in his life, a decision, where he no longer wants the sin life, the self life, but he wants the Christ life. We will now pick up the message which was interrupted by the turning over of the tape.
Open that. If you are ruled from external circumstances, you are in trouble. You are in a bad condition. Never let anything out there cause you to act. You hear me? You ever heard about reverse psychology? I want you to go in that direction. Therefore, I start to push you in the opposite direction, then you start resisting me and go in the very direction I want you to go. Well, this is the kind of psychology that the devil operates upon people. Amen. And he motivates you by sometimes hurting you. He knows you're going to retaliate. And that's what he wants you to do. So he hurts you to get you to retaliate. And therefore he wins every time. But if you will not be motivated by what happens to you, if you will not be moved by what comes against you, if you will only be moved by the Christ of God within you that is moving you forward, then that devil can't have anything over you. Hallelujah. Amen. May God help us. May God help us, because there are going to be a lot of exterior circumstances that will be struggling to operate us, to get us to move. Amen. Some people are motivated by the stock market. When it goes up, they're happy. When things get dark, they're sad. Don't you see how funny it is that if the devil can operate you from outside, he doesn't even have to enter into you. Amen. Let's close on this understanding. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Then he turned around and said, ye are the light of the world. Then he said, I am the living bread. And then in the 14th chapter of John, he said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am now, you will be. He said, greater works shall ye do than these, because I am going. Amen. You know what that means? You are the bread of life. Only bread in the world, the only life, the only energy, the only deliverance that people will ever receive. Unless you walk in your calling, you are a wasted bread, a defiled bread, an unworthy bread that will be cast away. Not good enough for life, for energy. God bless you, and God help you to do even as is required of God in you. And let us go together. God said in the end time he's going to bring together all those in heaven and in earth in Christ. And we are coming together. God is discovering his body more than anything else in the world tonight. Let us realize our position and our calling. And may God bless you, bread of life, in Jesus' name.
The music which is recorded on the rest of this tape was from the service at which the preceding message was preached on the 27th of October 1974 in the Maranatha group in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Oh. Thank you. Thank you. hear what she said? She continually sees a picture of Mount Zion. I'm going to sing, Marching to Zion. Who is Zion? The body of Christ. We're marching into His fullness, aren't we?
Jesus is the center.
We're marching to Zion.
We're marching to Zion. the glory, Jesus in the noontime, Jesus, when the sun goes
God.